This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
FUBAR Radio presents Dave Hill's History Fluffer.
Live from QED in Astoria, Queens, it's Dave Hill, History Fluffer!
Thank you. Give yourselves a hand.
Yay.
I'm Dave Hill. Thank you. And this is the lovely and talented Jody Lennon. And
Thank you.
Is the lovely and talented Jim Biederman.
Hello.
And thank you for joining us for this exciting experimental new show.
Welcome all.
Welcome all.
So, you know, this show started because Jody and I would have these conversations with Dave, and he would regale us with stories that we just never knew about in your life.
No.
And he had this exceptional ability to be at places in history, at pivotal moments in time.
Pivotal
moments in time. He was part groupie, part muse, part creative fluffer.
Creative fluffer. I think.
Right.
Groupie cheapens it.
Okay. Well, we had at one point called it creative midwife. You didn't like that.
That was just weird.
Well, you're giving birth to the idea.
It seems like I would be wearing like a real blousy sort of house coat.
Yeah, a frou thing.
I don't like that.
No.
And a creative panacea.
Right.
At one time.
Right.
Yeah.
You tried that. You didn't like that.
No.
But fluffer stuck.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
It always does.
It was a sticky stuck.
Always does. And thus we came up with the term history fluffer.
History
which
fluffer.
Which is that you're there at these pivotal moments. We found out you were the seventh member of the Eagles.
Yeah, and that's a very funny joke I used to tell you. Say, uh-huh. I was the sixth member of the Eagles.
Right. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes.
But the joke was that I was actually the seventh member because, as we all know, the sixth member was cocaine.
Right. Funny joke.
That joke never got old, and
never.
It doesn't get
it still
old.
Well, of the Eagles, who
week
loved that joke
week.
The most?
Oh, Joe Walsh.
Joe Walsh,
without question.
That kind of
also liked cocaine the most.
Yeah. Makes sense that he'd like the joke.
You were charge out of it.
We reminisced about your friendship, and I would say romantic entanglement with Karl Lagerfeld on his passing.
Yeah, we didn't label it.
Right, I understand.
It was one of those exciting, unusual friendships that we all love to see and trade on the internet.
Right, like a French film. You were a dog walker for Andy Warhol in 1976.
And Son of Sam.
And Son of Sam's unbeknownst
to me.
Right.
Fool me once, shame on you. Yeah. Fool me twice.
Mm-hmm. Son of Sam.
Son of Sam.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear.
Yep.
But this is really, tonight I think is, I'm going to say one of the more interesting, and we've heard some very interesting stories.
So special.
Yeah, and timely, I feel like.
Very timely.
Yeah.
But let's set it up a little bit.
Set it up.
I think you told me you had kind of taken it was almost like a gap year, and you were working up in Alaska? Was that what you told me?
This is the tail end of the 70s. Mm-hmm. I was working at a salmon cannery in Alaska, basically a place where you can salmon that's in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And
so an Alaskan salmon cannery.
What was the name of the cannery?
Cannery Alaska.
Is that what it said on your checks?
No, they probably had a corporation or something.
Yeah, Prince Albert's. I don't remember what it was called.
Right. You were young.
Can I just ask a question about salmon canning?
Cannery.
Canning?
It was a cannery for salmon.
I get that part. So what do you do?
We canned other things.
Do you chop the salmon up and put it in water and put it in the can? Is that how it works?
Well, you have to... Yeah, that's essentially what happens. Oh, okay. Yeah. Is yeah, it you like chop it. You skin it and then you chop it and you can it.
And is it that's coming down a conveyor belt like Laverne and Shirley style? Are you wearing a hairnet or
yeah. I did wear a hairnet, but that was just by just
that's the thing you did.
An aspect, oh, really. Yeah,
yeah. Was it the gap year you were wearing a hairnet around?
Yeah, yeah. And I was stuffing bonbons into my face as quickly as I could on the assembly.
On the assembly, they were coming down. They just had salmon.
It was just salmon. Yeah.
That I got to be honest with you. I can understand it's something you do to kind of get away from it all, maybe clear your head. The monotony of it.
Yeah, because my old man was coming down on me.
Yeah,
to get a job and you know straighten up and fly right.
Sure.
And go work on the stock exchange.
Right, right, right.
And I tried that one summer. That didn't go well at all.
Right.
And I wound up, I was at the cannery of salmon cannery in Alaska. Mm-hmm. But it's great if you love salmon.
Yeah.
You could do a lot worse.
And you.
I love salmon.
Love salmon.
It's easily one of my top five fishes. And
is that the secret to your complexion?
No, I rub a Big Mac on my face every morning. Oh. Yeah.
It's the preservatives.
Yeah.
In the Big
extra rack. Oil. Keep it oily. Yeah.
Very effective.
So you're a big salmon fish
and
fan.
It's an all-you-can-eat scenario as long as you don't get caught.
Well, that's
yeah,
the thing. You can't.
Not supposed to eat it.
Right.
But if you don't get caught, it's an all-you-can-eat salmon. So for a guy who loves salmon,
right,
you can
one
do a lot
of your
worse.
Top five fish.
Yeah, yeah. Working at a salmon cannery. Of course, mm-hmm. You don't want to get caught.
It's like a hog in heaven.
Yeah, yeah. But you can't get caught. You gotta. You want to keep canning. You don't want to eat salmon.
So I'm the supervisor. I'm the day foreman.
Yeah.
And I come over. I say, "Hey, Dave, what is your mouth full of salmon?" I
mean, No. And then I keep canning, but eventually these things catch up with you. And I did. Yet I was fired.
You got fired for eating the essentially. It's like a drug dealer doing his own drugs.
No, I was fucking the supervisor's wife.
Oh,
yes, that's why I got fired.
They hate that.
Yeah,
they hate that.
You know, in the eating of the salmon was that just that was, oh, was insult
icing on the cake,
insult
so to, speak.
To injury.
Yeah.
And you know, there's not really a lot much. Not much to do up at a salmon cannery.
I
got
to imagine.
Concern.
I mean, I hate to stereotype it, but it's the proverbial. Salmon canning's wife, you know, her husband's working on the canning.
Right, she's lonely.
She's lonely. She's sexually frustrated.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
sun is barely out because right. it's Alaska.
When you're a salmon cannery supervisor, your life, your lover, your lady is cannery.
The cannery. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that.
And your wife is, you know, so she's going to get
this poor woman's essentially
getting the short shrift. Not really, though. And so eventually, yeah. So, but anyway, I got fired for that.
Okay. So you're screwing the boss's wife.
And we're, you know, because everyone's gossipy. There's not anything to do but can.
There's not a lot. I'm going to say it's a small
gossip.
Town.
Right.
Yeah.
So
word travels fast because we all know the first telephone was two cans tethered by a string.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're only about 2 feet away, so
right.
they can just hear
so
each
they're
other.
Like, hey, did you hear the news?
No, but I can hear you telling that guy the news.
And no one wanted to hire me because the supposition was that I would pork the supervisor's wife. And they were right because I would have.
Right.
Yeah. So eventually I had no choice but to pack my bags.
Were you run out of town?
I wasn't asked to stay, if that's what you mean.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. So I got in one last and I
canning so to
one
speak.
Last canning
yeah yeah,
yeah. I tore the lid off the supervisor's wife one last time
I bet
and then I went to New York to clear my head
you so, took a flight from Alaska to New York
yeah it seemed weird to me at the time as well but I went and I just kind of crashed out at my slept on my friend Jean's.
Jean.
Couch. Shallot.
Jean Shallot. Your best friend, Jean Shallot.
Your good friend.
Yeah,
Jean
yeah.
Shallot.
Know about him.
You have so much in common.
Salt to the earth. I crashed rent free, lived on Jean Shallot's couch for a few months. And, you know, it sort of gave me the time to tinker, you know, tinker and sort of plot and plan.
What do you mean, tinker?
Yeah, I was tinkering with a few things that I'll get into.
We're going to ask.
In a little bit.
All right.
And then eventually, you know, Shal and I decided to load up the van and head to Los Angeles.
Is it your van or Gene Shalit's van?
Shalit's van.
He had a van. This is like, so this is what, 1980? Is this?
We're looking at about 1980 now.
Yeah. I mean, so this is primo Shalit.
Shalit at the peak of his powers.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Mustache. So, hair. Everything.
As opposed to, yeah. Does he not have the mustache anymore?
No, he has it all. But no. I mean, it was just like you could rub up on it, and it was like touching God, used to say. Yeah.
So many said that at the time.
Yeah.
I think it was Jane Pauley.
Jane Pauley
loved that mustache.
So
Diane
it's primo.
We're
top shelf Shalit at this point, right?
Shalit of the gods.
Shalit of the gods, and you probably every young boy's dream. Cross-country road trip with Gene Shalit.
Yeah, riding shotgun with Shalit.
What kind of tunes were you listening to?
What's your favorite band?
Dire Straits.
Dire Straits.
We're never not listening to Dire Straits.
Oh, my gosh.
We had a mixtape with Dire Straits on it. Who do you like, Jim?
ABC.
ABC was on the tape, even though they were just... Were they together yet?
I think, yeah.
What 1980, your pre-1980 bands do you like? Anyone in the audience?
Van Halen.
Yeah, Van Halen 1 and 2 were on that tape. You're just smoking hot jams.
It's Easy Rider in a van.
Basically.
Did you have a monkey?
We did not have a monkey, if that's true. To your point, we did kind of have a monkey, which will become clear momentarily.
Oh, all good. Right, all right.
So you're going to, where are you going? You're going to Los Angeles?
We're going straight in for,
California, AA?
We're going to Buddy Ebsen's house.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, Buddy Ebsen has...
Central.
Yeah, Buddy Ebsen, and he was holding like a Matlock screening. And we were going to go there and just crash
this is
out.
Like, so this would be a Matlock screening of an episode that hadn't aired yet.
Right,
oh
right.
Oh, my
it's
gosh.
It's extremely exclusive.
Yeah, yeah. Just up in the Hollywood Hills.
It's just the Illuminati of
the
Hollywood.
Hollywood elite. Yeah.
Everybody. Ruth Gordon.
Uh-huh.
Debbie Reynolds.
Sure.
Felicia Rashad.
Sure.
Nipsey Russell.
Was Meredith there. Baxter Burney.
Sure.
David Baxter Burney.
Uh-huh.
What about Dick Van Patten?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that.
Okay.
Because I end up crashing. We end up crashing at Dick Van Patten's
place. Oh, so you weren't staying at Buddy Ebsen's. You were going to stay at your...
We went to Buddy Ebsen's house for the party.
Right, for the Matlock.
I end up crashing at Dick Van Patten's.
Which,
pool
by
house.
The way, can I just tell you? I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah, peak of his powers, Van Patten. I
mean, plus, he had all those kids, so that's like a fun house.
Eight of them, yeah.
Yeah, everyone. Willie Ames was there.
Mm-hmm.
Was Adam Rich?
Adam Rich was there.
Was there. Young. Alfonso Ribeiro would come by.
Oh.
When you say come by, just drop by? Like,
yeah, just whatever. Come by the pool, and
right.
Then go shoot an episode of Silver Spoons.
It sounds crazy.
Scott Baio there?
Scott Baio was there. Jimmy McNichol, Christy McNichol.
So the McNichols.
Yeah, everyone. Even some of the other McNichols that a lot of people don't know.
Did you see anybody from Love Boat?
Yeah. Was Julie
Gavin
the
McLeod
Julie?
McLeod was there.
Julie, what's her name?
Lorraine Tuiz, you mean?
Yes, yeah, she was Lorraine there. Tuiz. Yeah.
Yeah, she was there.
I'm not sure that's pronounced that way, but
yeah.
So it's a party. It's a fucking party. Central.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds crazy.
And it was never. The party was never not happening.
24/7. So it's 1980. It's Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of things.
Cocaine
happening.
Everywhere.
Cocaine. But also,
I mean, it's literally I was covered in it.
You were covered
from
in
head
cocaine.
To toe.
It's a crazy time.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, what am I going to do with my life, or what do you?
Yeah.
Thinking?
Well, I wasn't. You know, what the thing I've been working on at Shalit's place.
I mean, in New York.
Oh, when you were tinkering.
Yeah. In the back of the van that we drove cross country.
Sure.
Jim, do you know what animatronics are?
They're like electronic dolls or something.
Well,
or?
They're sort of. Basically, do you ever go to like an amusement park and like?
Sure, I've gone to an amusement park.
Or you take like a riverboat, thing, and all of a sudden like there's like a history scene from history open.
Sure, like a Tom Sawyer type thing.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And then you keep
or
anyways,
like a Hall of the Presidents at Disneyland.
That yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's
I know what you're talking about. Now I know.
So I was, you know, I'm a bit of a musician, so I was tinkering with an animatronic band. There was
whoa. So a robot band.
That's exactly right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, there was a moose.
Yeah.
There was and the moose is very funny. I would go to say to the drummer, mm-hmm. there'd be a drummer who was like a hippo, and then mm-hmm. there'd be a giraffe.
What did the giraffe play?
The giraffe played, had a harp. It was a harp with those strings.
It's kind of an unusual instrument.
And then there was a little chipmunk that played a tambourine. And
that's cute.
Yeah, yeah. And then there was Chimp on a banjo.
There's the chimp.
Yeah, Chimp on a mitt. But then the funny thing is I'd be like, one, two, has everyone got their instruments? And then the moose would come into frame. And be like,
just the head?
What about me? What
yeah,
about
yeah. Oh, he would no. never.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah, yeah. It was very cute. And That's cute. He, his sort of the, what are those called?
Horns?
No.
Antlers,
uh-huh. But like what are the individual things at the end of the antlers?
Fingers?
Puff balls?
Puff balls?
No, not yeah. horns. We covered that.
Nirvanas?
No, there's names
knuckles,
for it.
Knuckles. Like, antler knuckles.
They're not tines.
Tines?
But it's like, anyway. You know,
I'll go with tines.
The individual things. But then that would then...
Oh, like a xylophone.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh!
The chimp would then be like, play it like a xylophone.
Oh, that's satisfying.
And then so we would do... you know, all the hits of the day that was sort of, and I would wear sort of like a vest and mm-hmm. sort of a straw hat, and mm-hmm. I had sort of the arm band,
uh-huh,
like
the garter, sort of gay the garter belts.
Yeah, uh-huh. Sort of a gay 90s thing.
Sure, sure.
And then at various points in the song, I would hit a pedal, uh-huh. and an owl would come out, mm-hmm. and he would go, and daddy sing bass. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And daddy sing, and daddy right. sing bass.
Right.
And then, wow. and then. Yeah,
I'm assuming you would do it in a song that would make sense that he would come over with.
Sometimes not. Just not. And then other times, and then you know the toucan would go, oh, "Mama Santana." Mm. Yeah.
The what?
That must have been Mama so Santana. Popular in the 1980s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and yeah. So and
I'm surprised you didn't have your own variety show at this point.
Well, it was. We. But this the thing that what do you think the name of the band was?
Like Dave's animatronic band.
Dave's Fun Band.
Fun Band's a good name.
The Motley Crue.
The Motley Crue.
What?
The Motley Crue.
Oh, because you're like a yeah. you're like a Motley Crue. You're
because
like
a Motley Crue. Because you're an unusual group.
Yeah. Now
you
now.
Seem unruly.
Yeah.
But they're
it's you're a ragtag like, army. It's like being a ragtag
yeah,
army.
How do these guys even
it's
know
like
each
a
other?
Right.
The thinking
right. that you somehow, don't know what they're gonna do.
Where did right. he find these?
And it's called and they're called and you're called the Motley Crue.
The Motley Crue.
Right. So I'm gonna imagine. I mean, it sounds like it's a pretty tight. I mean, it's you basically with robots.
Yeah,
it's a pretty tight band. So, are you yeah. booking? Are you booking gigs? Or
we were all over the Hollywood because Van Halen was mentioned earlier. Yeah. They made a big splash yeah. on the strip.
The Beatles were mentioned as well.
The Beatles.
Yeah.
Had Dire big, Straits.
Dire Straits.
I said ABC.
Nirvana.
Right.
But all over the strip, we were playing all the
well,
Troubadour.
Well, like Whiskey A Go Go.
Whiskey A Go Go.
The Roxy.
The Roxy.
Other places.
The Whiskey.
Everyone's like, God damn it, I want to see that animatronic
band. The
Motley
Crue, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Now,
see
I mean, so.
The reputation would, must
crazy.
Have been amazing.
Because
it must have been
they love,
yeah,
by the way,
everyone.
Hollywood loves technology. Hollywood loves technology.
I could not go to Cantor's Deli without right. someone going up to me and going, oh, you're. That is dangerous. Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh.
Yeah,
they were begging for it.
Right. At Cantor's.
Yeah.
It's not the audience, I would think.
Peek over from like the next room and go, Mama Santana.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
That's
whenever
cute.
When I
that's
would
cute.
Walk in there,
that's cute.
Yeah,
that's really cute.
It was very, very cute. I would yeah. be in there with Gene Shalit,
uh-huh.
Buddy Ebsen.
Sure.
Dick,
I'm gonna assume Dick Van Patten.
Dick Van Patten.
Right.
Willie Ames.
Uh-huh. Nipsey Russell.
Nipsey Russell.
Felicia Rashad. Was she
Foster Brooks?
Foster Brooks. Yeah.
Felicia Rashad.
Uh-huh. This is a big table.
The McNichols.
Oh my god. Yeah, yeah. I would basically be holding. I was the. Yeah.
So you arrive. You arrive.
What a time.
Yes. But he arrives in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
In the shadow, I would say, of Gene Shalit.
Yes.
And now it sounds like you've eclipsed that shadow.
Well, you never fully eclipsed Gene Shalit with
right.
that hair.
Right.
Yeah. You never. But he. But it, you know, to his credit, the man is egoless.
Right. He's gracious.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely gracious.
He's gonna step out of the way.
And picked up the tab 9 times out of 10
right.
at Cantor's.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But you're playing Whiskey A Go Go, you're playing the Roxy, you're
getting
playing the Troubadour.
Going, right?
The Troubadour?
Troubadour. We played the Troubadour.
You're making some money as the Motley Crue.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and were you picking up fans? Did you?
We were no longer sleeping on strippers' couches.
You're sleeping in their beds.
Well, I didn't have to.
You're sleeping in strippers' beds.
I was mostly at Dick Van Patten's house.
Right, right, right.
But that place was crawling with strippers.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so eventually,
I don't know why.
Van Patten's place, he's having a party one night, and everyone's like, that's Dave from the Motley Crue.
Mm-hmm.
And I would usually
Who are they saying this to? Who are they saying, that's Dave from the Motley Crue?
You know, Gene Shalit. Okay. To Buddy Ebsen, or Buddy Ebsen.
Oh, I see.
Might be talking to Irene Ryan.
Sure, sure.
Or, you know.
Irene Ryan, grandma from Beverly Hillbillies.
Max Baer might be saying it to Willie.
Max Baer.
Jethro.
Jethro from the Beverly Hillbillies.
They
were always going around together.
Yeah,
were,
yeah, because it was
they
just,
were
you know.
Inseparable.
It was a clique.
Yeah, and they were all fucking in. And, look it up.
Sex?
Yeah.
Wait, was Irene Ryan fucking Jethro?
Name it. Put, if you, want to make a Venn diagram?
Yeah,
of
sure.
Who,
yes,
I would
please.
Love to.
Of the
I would
people
love to.
That I just mentioned that were fucking would just look like one circle. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't even be a Venn diagram. It would just be a circle.
Yeah, I don't even know if that works right.
So you're at this party at Dick Van Dyke's house, and they're saying, that's Dave from the Motley Crue.
The Motley Crue.
The Motley Crue.
I'm going to guess this story's going somewhere. They say that to the wrong person?
Yeah.
Who do they say it to?
Tommy Lee. A young drummer by the name
of
Tommy Lee.
The Tommy Lee.
Well, he's
drummer
just Tommy Lee.
Aficionado. Yeah.
It's right. Just Tommy Lee. Oh. Yeah. He's this guy, and they're like, wait a minute. And he comes over, like, what are you talking about? You have a band called the Motley Crue? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, we have a band called Motley Crue.
Right.
And he's there with Nikki Sixx.
Right.
And Vince Neil and Mick Mars. Mm-hmm. All four of them. And they're like, we're Motley Crue. And I was like, got news for you. We're actually Motley Crue. And I would point at the owl. And then I would point at the moose. And because they'd all be peppered throughout the party. Just set up.
Were they, is this the right word, alive at the party? Or?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. They were all plugged in. Yeah.
Found a series of outlets.
Yeah, yeah.
That were peppered around the room.
Whenever there would be a lull in the party, I would just hit a pedal and the moose would go, what about me? Yeah.
Big laughs. So.
Everyone loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got news for you, Tommy Lee, Nikki Sixx.
Yeah.
We're the Motley Crue.
Yeah.
And the moose is saying, what about me?
Right, yeah. What about me?
And this was at Dick Van Patten's house, so we can imagine it was like a fancy room.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Norman Fell is there.
Sure.
Joyce DeWitt is there.
Oh, my gosh.
Suzanne Summers
is
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? I like that you question just Suzanne Summers.
That's the edge of it. That's like, whoa!
That's
hang on a minute.
Been crossed.
Don't fuck with me. And don't fucking tell me Suzanne Summers is there, because that's where I draw the line.
It did start to become not believable when I said
Suzanne Summers.
When I heard it myself, I was like, that doesn't seem believable.
Well.
Anyway, so they're like, we're Motley Crue. And I was like, we're the Motley Crue. And it's going back and forth. And in like, Ebsen's got to like pulls apart. It's like getting pretty bad.
He's a tall guy.
So yeah, you know, because he wasn't as old as Jed Clampett was made to look.
Oh,
with
right. He was younger, makeup. But playing older.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
He was more
virile. Yeah, all that. And Dick Van Patten no slouch either. So they're like pulling us apart anyway. So I'm like, well, that's good. We got that taken care of. Let's get back into the pool. Mm-hmm. And Monday.
I
get.
This is on a weekend, I guess.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
or Friday, or maybe it went all weekend.
It was
weekends?
Like a 3-day long
possible.
Party.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh!
We ran out. We got takeout from Killer Shrimp.
What's Killer Shrimp?
I don't think they're open anymore, but it was a shrimp concern. Not like a cannery so much as it was just a restaurant.
Shrimps.
Yeah.
So you were still consuming a lot of seafood at the time.
Yeah, it was never not. It was seafood and cocaine all the time.
Oh, the
killer
80s.
Shrimp.
The
killer
80s.
Shrimp. Killer Shrimp's right near the Shakey's Pizza.
That's exactly. We played Shakey's Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
The Motley Crue did.
Right, right. Yeah. That was one of your regular places.
Yeah, yeah. And I rigged that up every couple numbers. The owl would come out and serve a pie to someone. And so it just...
That's cute. That's
you never,
cute.
The joke was always like, you never know who's going to serve you pizza at the at the Motley Crue show.
At Shakey's
at
Pizza.
At Shakey's Pizza.
Right.
Right.
That was a joke?
I told it a couple times when the owl would come out. And
like lost in translation.
But I got a cease and desist
from
Motley Crue's lawyer.
Did they deliver that to Dick Van Patten's house?
Yeah,
or?
To the
so you're house. You're stumbling straight. Up, you're waking up, ding dong, 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 dong.
You know when they go like, "Are you Dave Hill?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And you've been served.
Mm-hmm. Oh no.
Yes. Yeah. Cease and desist.
Right.
And And so, yeah, I couldn't use the Motley Crue. So right. I get, Shalit gets his lawyers on. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to assume Gene Shalit's lawyers are top of the line.
It's right, and I assume they're on retainer.
Right.
Roy Cohn.
It's Roy Cohn.
It's Roy Cohn.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Not the same Roy Cohn.
Oh, different Roy Cohn.
Totally
okay,
different
all
Roy
right.
Cohn. And so he's like, okay, he'll stop being the Motley Crue if you let him be in Motley Crue.
Ah, that's a good trade-off.
That's how I wound up in Motley Crue.
You were in Motley Crue.
What?
When
were
you? I was in Motley Crue. I was so.
So you've negotiated your way into Motley Crue.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only they're all like, you'll be more like. I would dress in black. They'd be like, and stand in the back and
step
away from the mic. Really let your vocals breathe, you know.
Yeah, I think they were. I think they were fucking with you.
Well, hindsight's 20/20, you know. Because
sure,
at
sure.
the time, I didn't realize it. But
right.
we, so then, on the strength of my animatronic band, the mm-hmm. Motley Crue,
sure,
Motley Crue ends right. up just taking the picking up flex. Everyone thinks, well, we're gonna go see the animatronic
at Shakey's. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and then they would see me.
Right.
They
go okay.
helping with the equipment.
Right.
And they'd be like, "Well, that's the guy."
Right.
Right.
Wait, and I'm there with friends, and they're saying, "Wait till you see the moose come out."
Yeah.
Wait
yeah.
till you see the owl.
You won't believe it.
Yeah.
No,
you
won't
believe it. Too late though.
Right.
You've already paid to get in.
Right. And you know what that's like. So you're doing these shows, and you get a record contract, and forgive me.
Yeah.
But it sounds as if they don't really want you in the band. That it was a negotiation.
Right.
No one really wanted to sue each other. Was it going to be a lot of money? They negotiate you into the band, and now they have you on the album?
Well, it's a weird thing. Like, because when I hear it out loud like this, I'm like, oh, my God, he's right. They were fucking with me. Because, like, there was this whole thing that would be like, you don't have to sign the record contract. We don't want you to get tied up. And, like, you focus on the creative, Dave. You don't have to sign any. You're not signing
again,
any.
Again, I'm going
to like,
say.
They act like they were, like, an ally.
Yeah, but they're
and
not.
They were,
you know,
like.
But you know they're not, right?
Well, now I do. You know, when I hear it out loud. And then the band photos, they were like, we want you to really highlight you in this one, so mm-hmm. you stand off over in your own space, and then what would happen? The cameraman would just be sort of turning,
right? Sure.
When I would see the photos right. later,
and you weren't
even in the frame,
right?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
what would they say with that? Like, would they say, "Oh, it was an accident"? Or?
Yeah, they're like, "Oh, I'm so mad."
Oh, that sounded like Vince Neil. Was that Vince
yeah,
Neil
that's
saying
how
that to you?
He'd be like, "Oh, I'm so mad at the editor of Hit Parader for editing you out."
That sounds just. By the way, it's an amazing Vince Neil impression.
Yeah,
yeah.
It
no,
really
he was like,
sound
"I'm
like
so mad
spot
at Cream Magazine
Cream,
for
yeah.
not keeping you in the frame. That's right. really messed up, Dave."
Right. right.
And I didn't care because I'd be like, "Oh, just give me more cocaine."
But there now,
you know.
So are the animatronics still in the on the part of the show? Or?
Yeah, where are they collecting dust at Van Patten's place?
The owl was still
part of the act.
Yeah, because during the drum solo, he would come out and daddy sing bass. Yeah.
And wasn't it true that the moose made an appearance on Three's Company at one point?
Yeah. Do you remember the episode where Mr. Roper thinks that Jack is having sex with the roommates because he overhears.
I don't remember.
Oh, he some strange sounds.
Yeah, there's a misunderstanding where he thinks like a sexual relation. Did you see that episode?
I did.
Yeah, it was an episode. There's just like a misunderstanding because he hears and he thinks he's caught them.
Having sex.
And that was the same episode where Mrs. Roper tries to get Mr. Roper to have sex and he pretends. Like he's asleep.
I don't remember.
I remember that.
Did you see that
episode? Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, it was that episode. He was on that episode.
Oh, that's so great. A very special episode.
The one with the silent credits at the end.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We learned something today.
And you could kind of see Jack's testicle at one point in one of those
episodes. Yeah, because they had just come back from the beach.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So that's an epic episode.
This is a little melancholy, but it sounds like the band is drifting apart.
No. The Moose is
on Three's Company.
I was making a little bit of money, right. So I moved out of Dick Van Patten's place. I didn't get my own place. I moved in with a guy named Richard.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard, he was a total oddball, and really into Satan.
Into Satan.
Huh.
He worshipped Satan.
Oh, so he's a Satanist. Yeah. Richard, what was?
Ramirez.
Ramirez.
Richard Ramirez.
Richard Ramirez. It's a really familiar name.
Yeah. Richard Ramirez. Mm-hmm. He was very, like, just a weird guy, really into Satan. And then that, I was like, well, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. To talk to the guys in the band about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we get shot at the devil.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I was like, my neighbor.
Helped inspire that.
My roommate, Richard Ramirez.
I'm going to ask you a question. You don't know who Richard Ramirez was?
Well, I had my suspicions after a while.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a prominent serial killer at the time in Los Angeles and San Francisco. Known famously as the Night Stalker, he was later arrested. And his name was Richard Ramirez. Yeah.
And again, this is one of those hindsight, 2020, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice.
Richard Ramirez.
Oh my God, it's Richard Ramirez. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because we had this rule, because the rule was never argue or bother someone when they're in their bedroom or during mealtime, right?
Yeah.
That seems to make sense.
Right? Okay, so
basically never talk to me.
Right.
Well, he would only come out of his room during mealtime, right?
Uh-huh.
So when he was in his room, I couldn't talk to him. So I'd get home, there'd be like a bloody machete, and I'd be like, what's up with the bloody machete, right?
Right.
And I
clean your fucking machete.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's not cool.
No.
There's a bloody machete on
the sink.
And but then he'd be in his room and be like, respect for house rules.
Don't
bother.
Right.
Sure.
I'd be like, hey, Richard Ramirez, come on out. I made chicken with chimichurri sauce. That's like that little green sauce. And and then you couldn't ask him about
The machete.
The machete then either because it was mealtime.
House rules.
And then he'd be going back to his room and I'd be like, hey, Richard, one thing real quick. I want to ask you about the bloody machete. Slams the door.
So kind of an odd, he's an oddball.
Well, yeah. Like then,
and
like,
a serial killer. He's an oddball and a serial killer.
Well, the oddball thing was not debatable.
Right.
But the serial killer thing, I did not, again, hindsight's 2020. I gradually put it together because like, oh, here's there's like a bloody knife. Oh, what's this bloody baseball bat?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's this clump of bloody hair and bloody women's clothes in the
driveway?
He's
always in his bedroom or it's mealtime and your house rules.
In the house rules.
Sure, I understand.
And to be fair, he respected the rules as well. He did not bother me.
Yeah, but you're not killing people.
Well, yeah. I mean, but again, he couldn't have known that.
True.
And was the Motley Crue just like kind of speckled around all the blood and gore? Was
the animatronic.
The Moose.
Yes, of course.
No, they were still at Dick Van Patten's house.
You left them there?
Yeah, except for the Moose. He was at our place.
So the Moose would stay close with you?
Yeah, the Moose was with me and I would yell like, God damn it, Richard, you better fess up to this bloody machete. And the Moose annoyingly would go, what about me? Because that was his only thing.
Right.
You know, you
right,
did.
Yeah. Well, but that weird thing about that is you'd say, hey, Richard, what's up with the bloody... You'd have to push the button with your foot.
Force a habit.
Oh, I see.
Force a habit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's almost second nature.
Yeah, yeah. And
what about me?
What about me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That would drive Richard Ramirez crazy, I would imagine.
Well, slowly. I mean, that's the thing. Like, it becomes one of those things, like, is he a serial killer or did I drive him to kill?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You know what I mean?
Kind
just
of a,
by...
Kind of a chicken and a... And an egg.
That's
thing.
Exactly right.
Right.
I like to what extent is this my fault? I began right. to ask myself.
Wow.
That's and was Shallot checking up on you, or were people calling, or
Shallot
dropping by?
Would be by the house, and he'd be like, "What's up with the bloody machete?" Whatever. And I'd be like, "Not cool. He's in his room."
Right.
And,
don't bring it up.
But meanwhile, we're working on an album called Theater of Pain.
Sure.
Only I was not involved in the sessions as much as I would have liked.
Were you involved in the previous album sessions? It doesn't sound
not as much as I would have liked.
What about the first album?
Not as much as I would have liked.
Right.
Oh,
sure.
No.
Sure. So
The stage show is my big thing. Like, uh-huh. Nikki Sixx would put like lighter fluid on his legs.
Sure.
And then one of the other guys would light it and his legs would be on fire.
Right.
I would do the exact same thing with cold cuts. Yeah.
You mean like Oscar Mayer?
Yeah, whatever sandwich meats were available. Now,
like ham or salami?
I was a favored customer.
Bologna?
I would swing by Canner's Deli.
Sure. Again.
Yeah, put it on Shallot's
right.
tab. Uh-huh. I'd get bologna.
Right.
I would get...
Salami.
Salami. I would
pastrami.
Get... I would get a summer sausage.
I love pastrami.
I would get a smoked turkey.
Would you
just
get the
get
meat with the fruit in it? What's that stuff?
With the
head cheese?
Well, there's head cheese.
I think he's talking about pimento loaf.
Pimento loaf.
Yeah. We did in a pinch. We did the Christmas show is always pimento loaf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's colorful.
Yeah,
red and green.
So I would just cover myself in the pimento loaf.
In these cold cuts, yeah.
The guys at this point pretty much had me backstage.
Right.
Oh, no.
The whole time, so it feels like.
So you're covered in cold cuts backstage.
In cold cuts back there.
Are you dressed, or is this an
outfit? Were you in the green room? Were you close to other snacks? Were you at risk of anybody thinking that you were part of just the catering
right. he was
back
there? He was crafty.
I mean, at various points, I mean, I can remember nights when Adam Rich would just be grabbing slices off me all night.
So sorry.
Would you
like?
I'm sorry. Would you
Ricky
light the
Schroeder?
Ricky Schroeder.
Yeah.
Would you light the food on fire? Is that the
no? Because it's very hard to light because it's very damp.
Right.
The meat is very damp.
It's very damp.
It was by the time, yeah.
So were you still eating seafood at the time too?
Right.
Yeah, I would always get like a shrimp cocktail.
So
or
you're
like a shrimp.
Covered.
Okay.
You're literally dressed in cold cuts,
shrimp
having
salad,
having a shrimp salad,
shrimp dip. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Because the irony is that I had a niacin allergy, so I couldn't touch any of the meat.
Sure.
Those
any
are so nasty.
Cuts.
Yeah.
I couldn't touch any of the meat.
So it was really just for show.
Yeah, yeah.
Backstage.
Give him a show. That
yeah.
was our
give
thing.
Him
give
show.
Him a show.
Give him a show, yeah.
Was Doc McGee not supportive of your efforts?
He was administering coke up my butt.
What?
Oh.
He was doing what?
Straw. Yeah.
Wait,
I learned from Stevie Nicks.
Oh, which was?
Cocaine directly up the butt.
Really? Is it? Yeah. The effect is faster that way?
I don't know of another way to do it.
Right. Oh, I see. Well, most people do it in their nose, or they just rub it on their gums.
Okay, this is explaining a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's cocaine is everywhere. You're not seeing people do
it's
this?
Well, I mean, when you say it, now that you put it like this, a lot more stuff makes sense.
Sure, sure. So you're covered in cold cuts. You're not lighting yourself on fire
because
of the moisture in the meat. You got a niacin allergy.
We're doing
and you're doing coke up your asshole.
And they're like, "Oh, Dave, I know you've been busy." Yeah.
I'm just trying to picture. I'm trying to get a mental picture.
It was
of this.
So the 80s.
Yeah,
yeah,
it really was.
Anything goes.
And then, of course, I'm going to say the hair. Right?
Yeah, was your hair really long?
God. Yeah, it was, and everyone called it the me decade. I called it the meat decade.
Cause right,
because
you're covered
in meat.
In meat.
And my hair was, just sky
crazy,
high.
Crazy.
And the irony is that when I would try to set the meat on fire, my hair would catch on fire 9 times. And that's why
that
I
makes
would
sense.
Just be
that
burned
makes sense.
All over the
right.
neck, everything.
That's
was
a terrible
horrible.
Smell, too.
Oh, the worst.
So,
but you must have seen a lot of ladies, scantily clad ladies. I mean, that's what was happening around Motley Crue, right?
Yeah.
Were you getting any of that action? I mean, you were covered in meat and you had long hair. And
good-looking guy. Having someone blow cocaine up your asshole?
Yeah, you must have been really raring to go.
You're a catch. You're a catch.
Yeah, Debbie Reynolds, Ruth Gordon.
That's not who I was.
Diane Cannon.
Diane Cannon.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
You didn't see that coming.
No, I did not see that coming. That's a new one.
She was a very positive lady.
Yeah.
Diane Cannon.
Yeah. So
Anita Bryant.
Oh, what a rebel.
When you mention these names, are Tippi Hedren. Uh-huh, Tippi Hedren. When you mention these names, are these people women you had sex with, or they were just there?
They whipped me around like a rag doll.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
You were a love object.
Oh yeah. No one I've named tonight didn't make a fist puppet out of me at some point in the 80s. Why do you think we called it Theater of Pain?
The album was called Theater of Pain.
I was talking about something very specific.
Which was?
My butthole.
I see.
Thankfully, Doc McGee was numbing it up for you.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So I just out of curiosity, would you say, hey, Doc, and then he knew what to do? Or was this more...
No words needed.
So is Richard Ramirez, I'm going to imagine, getting jealous of your...
Well, the thing is, Richard Ramirez was never around. And looking back on it, I knew why.
Right.
He was murdering
people. He was killing people. Yeah, yeah.
By the way, it's
own full-time job.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you look it up. Yeah. He was...
And he's traveling back and forth between San Francisco and L.A. That's a six-hour drive.
So much driving.
Right.
So much murdering.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
It was endless.
But... Now, at this point, this is now the third album's out.
Yeah.
Are you... It sounds like you're that you're not really a member of the band at this point.
You know, looking back, when I hear you say it now, mm-hmm. it sounds right. Mm-hmm. But we had an album to make. It's called Girls, Girls, Girls.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
a classic.
Wow.
Yeah. A classic.
One of the biggies.
A classic.
You know, that was on the album Girls, Girls, Girls.
Yeah.
Then we did...
That makes sense.
The way it ended, because I think we need to wrap it up.
Yeah.
So we make an album called Dr. Feelgood.
Sure.
Fifth album.
Sure.
Peak of our powers.
Sure.
That's when things go really south.
As opposed to everything up to this point.
Well, looking back on it, it was like sort of a downhill climb the whole time.
Right.
We wind up in Florida on the stop. We're in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
We're in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
For the Dr. Feelgood. It's Dr. Feelgood tour.
Right.
The cult is opening up.
Right, right.
And I meet up with the love of my life, a woman by the name of Aileen.
Aileen.
Mm-hmm. Warnos.
Sure. Yeah. You have a unique way of... You have a unique ability to kind of connect with...
Right. Troubled
people.
People with dental.
Again, hindsight.
Sure.
It's 2020. Mm-hmm. Fool me once.
Right.
Shame on you. Right. Fool me twice. Aileen Warnos.
Sure, sure. Sure.
Yeah. So, Aileen Warnos, I decide I'm going to stay in Florida with her.
You're just going to throw it all away.
Oh.
What about the moose? What about the moose? Is the moose staying with you?
Oh, the moose was with us.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. In fact, after the first murder.
Yeah.
After the,
I like that. That's the kind of the marker, right? After the first murder,
the moose says, "What about me?"
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
No, that's cute. That's cute.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Cute.
It's very cute. And I should have got. That's when I should have gotten out.
Right. How in deep did you get?
I don't know how many people did she kill.
Let's say seven.
At least, yeah.
Right.
Seven. Yeah.
So you were in for the full ride.
The full ride.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, looking back on it.
Yeah. What?
Yes, what?
It's one of those fool me once, shame on you.
Right.
Fool me twice, mm-hmm. Aileen Warnos.
Or Richard Ramirez.
Or Richard Ramirez. Yeah. I mean, fill in the blank, really.
Right, right. So you have a penchant for dating serial killers or living with them.
I mean, yeah, when looking back, when I hear you say it like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know. It sounds, out loud, it sounds strange.
Yeah, yeah. Out loud, it sounds ridiculous.
Right. Like bees to honey.
Yeah.
You were the honey.
Moss to a flame.
Mm-hmm.
Dave to serial killers.
Wow. So yeah. You were basically, just to kind of recap, you were in Motley Crue for their five of their most influential
until,
albums.
Yeah.
Until they broke up? Or no?
No, Vince Neil quit.
Right.
And then John Corabi joined the band as the new singer. And then I said, you know what, I'm out.
You just said, I'm done. This.
I'm out.
Right. I
don't want any part of this.
I'm starting a new life with...
you know what? I may have serial killers as roommates and girlfriends, but I'm not a fucking idiot.
Right.
If John Corabi's the singer, I'm out.
Right.
Yeah.
You have principles.
Yeah, I'm not an idiot.
Right.
You live by a moral code.
There's a line you won't cross.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not going to be in a band with John Corabi. Sorry.
I don't think anyone in this room would argue with that.
Nope. We all
agree.
Yeah,
I'll be roommates with Richard Ramirez. I'll date Amy Warnes, but I'm not going to be in a band with John Corabi.
Right, right. Sure, there's a bloody machete in the kitchen sink, but you know what?
Yeah.
You got to sleep at night.
Right.
Yeah. You got to lay on your
bed,
back, and close your eyes and drift off.
That's true.
Yeah.
So you were in their most influential work.
That's exactly right.
It's an amazing story.
Yeah. That's why I came here tonight to tell it to you.
I would imagine that's why you came here.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Feels good.
You want to take some questions?
We should take some questions.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming you have a couple questions.
Are you featured in The Dirt at all?
I was
the question is, are you featured in The Dirt? The movie The Dirt on Netflix? Or Dirt, not Netflix?
Yeah, was your character portrayed?
Was based on the book?
Or the
first draft of the script, it was called The Dave.
Oh.
It was a bit gradually... written out of it.
In fact, I don't even think the Moose is in it. Is not in it.
Right. None of the Motley Crue were represented.
It's a flawed movie.
Why so?
Well, when Mick Mars comes over, to jam with the band for the first time,
very first time,
he's playing a black Les Paul.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie.
Uh huh.
It's an Epiphone Les Paul, even though Epiphone is crossed out. But clearly, for the shape of the headstock, it is an Epiphone Les Paul, where any idiot knows that in early era Motley Crue, Mick Mars played a Gibson Les Paul.
Sure.
And doing one better, Epiphone Les Pauls didn't even exist till 1988.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
my
so,
flaw.
And you would know that because you were there. You
Because I was there.
Yeah.
And not I also because hang you're, out at Guitar Center.
Not because you're weird.
Yeah. It's a flawed film.
It's flawed. And the least of which, of course, is that Dave was written out.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Gene Shalit?
Gene Shalit?
You're still good friends, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What happened to Gene Shalit?
The question was, whatever happened to Gene Shalit?
Yeah.
And who do you think's my ride home tonight?
That's right.
Dave Hill History Fluffer is recorded live at QED in Astoria, Queens. For tickets and more information, visit QEDAstoria.com. For early access to ad-free episodes of Dave Hill History Fluffer and other incredible podcasts, become a Patreon subscriber for just $5 a month. Visit patreon.com/Dave Hill to join.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.